Well, turn again, please, to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter number 5. And the text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart is really the latter part of verse number 18 of Ephesians chapter number 5, where it simply says, "But be filled with the Spirit." But be filled with the Spirit. Now, whenever he was writing to the Lord's people, James in his epistle, he said these words. He said, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And that verse really means that the believer must put into practice the word of God in their life. They must seek to live out the teaching of the word of God. And my, if the truth of God's word is to be lived out in the believer's witness for Christ, then the words of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, our text for today, must also be a reality in the life of the Christian when it says, "But be filled with the Spirit." In the latter part of this book here, Paul is dealing with practical Christianity, practical Christian living. And if these Ephesian believers to whom he writes this letter were to honor the Lord, then Paul is saying to them here that they must be a people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God. These words, yes, were important to the believers in Ephesus in the day of the Apostle Paul, but these words are also equally important to you and I who are saved by the grace of God in this meeting house today. Let's look again there just at the beginning of this verse 18. Notice there what Paul says before he comes to the words of our text. He sets here a prohibition before God's people. For he says at the beginning of verse number 18, he says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." And there he makes it very, very clear how God's people are to have nothing to do whatsoever with drunkenness. Indeed, in the book of Proverbs, it says there to God's people, it warns God's people of this very fact. It says, "Woe to them that tarry long at the wine." And again, over in the book of Habakkuk, the prophet there says, but woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. And there the word of God makes it clear, and in our text this morning, how God's people are to have nothing to do with drunkenness whatsoever. But following on from this prohibition, and indeed by way of contrast, Paul then sets before these Christians in Ephesus these words of exhortation in our text this morning when he says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." He says to them, "But be filled with the Spirit." And my, the experience of these words was essential in their life, for them in their daily life there in Ephesus to live to God's honor and to live for God's glory day by day in their Christian life. And brethren and sisters in Christ in this house today, let me say, being filled with the Holy Spirit, yes, it is the key to every believer exalting Christ and honoring the Lord before others. It is the key to the Christian living to the glory of God in their home, in their family, in their workplace, in their community, and in the trying and difficult circumstances of life, whatever they may be. Yes, it is by being filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God that the believer, the child of God, whoever he is, whoever she is, wherever they are found in the providence of God, can live for God's honor and God's glory in their life day by day. And as we would then consider this vital matter of being filled with the Spirit of the Lord, there are a number of thoughts I want just to set before you today as a people. Notice first of all here with me the meaning of the Christian being filled with the Spirit. Our text says, "But be filled with the Spirit." The word "filled" there really means to fill up, or if you like, to make full. And my, if the Christian is to be filled with the Spirit, then the Holy Spirit must pervade every part of his life, every part of his being. Yes, the Holy Spirit of the living God must control his every purpose, his affections, his thoughts, his desires, his words, his deeds, his walk in life. And believer, can I say, yes, this is what it means for you and I to be filled with the Spirit of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit must be in control of our lives. The Holy Spirit must be leading and guiding and directing in our lives. Yes, this is what God wants for us here in this life as the people of God. And can I say that such a blessing here is a possibility? It can be a reality in the life of God's people because the Bible shows us that being the case. Over in the book of the Acts, you read there of the early New Testament church, the rank and file of that church, and it says this, they were all, it says, filled with the Holy Spirit. My, this was the portion of the men and women and the young people of that early New Testament church in the book of the Acts. Their testimony was marked by this fact, this reality, that they were a people who were filled with the Spirit of God. You notice there that our text really is in the present tense. It says, but be filled with the Spirit. It's in the present tense. In other words, the infilling of the Holy Spirit is to be that continuous experience in the life of the Christian. In other words, yesterday's infilling does not suffice for the present. Now you think of a glass being continually filled with water from a tap or a fountain. That's really the thought there behind that word being filled. Well, on a daily basis, you and I who are saved are to be filled with the Spirit. This infilling is not a one-off experience in our life as Christians. It's to be our constant experience as believers here on earth. And time after time, we read of God's people in the early New Testament church being filled with the Spirit of God. Turn with me in your Bible back to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter number 4. And look at what you read here about Peter. Look at what it says about him in verse number 8. This was the same Peter who earlier denied the Lord, his Savior. But now he owns the Lord, and my God's hand of blessing is upon him in a mighty way. And look at what it says about him in Acts 4, verse 8. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto the people, and he went on to speak of to them of Christ. Go down to verse 31 of the very same chapter. Look again at what it says about the early church. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and speak the word of God with boldness. Notice how it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Child of God, in the meeting this morning, let me say this, until we enter into heaven, what a hope that is for us as the people of God, but until we enter into heaven, each day we are to seek the infilling of the Spirit of God in our lives as Christians. Yes, daily we need the burden of the hymn writer who said, breathe upon us, Lord, from heaven. Fill us with the Holy Ghost, promise of the Father given. Send us now a Pentecost. Know that that would be the burden of our hearts day by day as the people of God. Yes, the meaning of the Christian being filled with the Spirit. But notice, secondly here, notice the duty of the Christian being filled with the Spirit. Our text says, but be filled with the Spirit. Notice those words, but be filled. Those words there are a command. My, if the Ephesians were to live for God's honor and glory, then it was the absolute necessity that they be filled with the Spirit, that they heed this exhortation from the pen of the Apostle Paul. Over in the Gospel of Luke, at the end of that book in chapter 24, verse 49, Christ here commanded his disciples to pray for the infilling of the Spirit of God, for he says, tarry ye until ye be endued with power from on high. He gives them that command to tarry and to seek the Lord for this blessing. And again in Acts 1, verse 4, he gives a similar command, for he says, but wait for the promise of the Father. And this command really shows us that as Christians, we must seek after the infilling of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the living God. In other words, the message of our text is a message to be heeded in our lives as Christians. This is not something to be discounted or to be set aside, no. This is the Lord's command to you and I who are believers, who know the Lord as Savior today. It's a command for us to heed and to hearken to. If we are to glorify the Lord and live for the honor of the Lord in our lives. You read the life story of D.L. Moody, that famous evangelist of a bygone day. And one of the things you will note about his life, that he was a man who was filled and anointed with the Spirit of God. That was the mark of his life. That was the mark of his ministry. And he said these words, he said, God commands us to be filled with the Spirit. He had not much by way of the world's education, so to speak, but he knew the Lord. He had a close walk with God, and he knew the anointing of God upon his life and upon his ministry. He said, this is something that the Lord commands us as his people. And what does the Bible say about the commandments of God to you and I who are Christians? It says, his commandments are not grievous. In other words, they're for our good, for our blessing, for our bounty. And the Lord says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And it is us seeking to live by the commands and the teaching of God's word as believers that we prove our love for Christ to the world around us. Yes, the meaning of the Christian being filled with the Spirit, the duty of the Christian to be filled with the Spirit. But notice thirdly here this morning, notice the outcome of the Christian being filled with the Spirit. What is the outcome? Turning your Bible back to Galatians chapter number 5. Back to the 5th chapter of the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter number 5. And look at what Paul says there in verse 22. And verse number 23 of Galatians chapter number 5. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit. And this is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. The outworking of the Spirit of God in the lives of God's people, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such that there is no law. People of God, whenever we are filled with the Spirit of God, yes, we who are saved will have these marks about our life. That's what Paul is saying here. We'll have that mark of Christian love. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love. What does that mean? Well, Paul, writing to the believers in the city of Rome, said the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that is given unto us. It means, yes, a love for God, a love for his people, a love for his word, a love for his work, a love for his day, a love for sinners who are lost and perishing in sin. You think of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit was given to him without measure. And what did Paul the Apostle say of the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, this is the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And my, the mark of Christ was this, that he loved Paul and he gave himself for Paul as a ransom for his sin upon the cross of Calvary. And my, he knew the Holy Spirit's anointing without measure upon him. And my, his life was marked by that of perfect love that took him all the way to the cross of Calvary to suffer and to bleed and die for guilty sinners such as you and I, without God, without hope, and without Christ. Yes, there's the fruit of love. There's the fruit there of joy. It says the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And in the Psalms, the Holy Spirit there is called the oil of gladness. In Psalm 45, verse 7, it says, our God have anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. You think of the early New Testament church and the disciples. They were persecuted. They were beaten. They were put in prison. People were against them, but it says this about them, that they were rejoicing, that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They were joyful in the Lord, rejoicing. Why? Because they were a people filled with the Spirit of God, and they knew joy and trial, tribulation. and in persecution. Likewise, brethren and sisters in Christ, being filled with the Holy Spirit will give you and I joy in the trials and the battles and in the difficulties of life that we encounter day by day. Then he speaks also there of the fruit of peace. That speaks of knowing the peace of God that passeth all understanding, living in peace and harmony with others. He speaks there of long-suffering in Galatians 5, verse 22, and that really speaks of being patient in the day of trial and the day of testing. He speaks there of the fruit of gentleness. That speaks of kindness. Our lives have been marked by the kindness of God. He speaks there of goodness. That means doing good to others. You think of Barnabas that you read about in the Acts of the Apostles. The Bible describes him as a good man. And it says this, he was a man filled with the Holy Ghost. And my, he was a blessing to others in his day and generation. And it speaks of faith there. And that means being faithful. Faithful to our word. It speaks of fidelity, faithfulness to God's work, faithfulness to our homes, to our workplaces, whatever. Again, you think of Stephen, one of the deacons in the early New Testament church. The Bible tells us he was a man full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. Right to the very end, he was faithful to the Lord when he has been martyred for his faith. For the Bible says this in Acts chapter 7, verse 55, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven. He was steadfast and faithful for the Lord right to the very end of his days. And then there's also here in Galatians 5, verse 23, the mention of meekness. That speaks of humility, even patience in injury, accepting, yes, submitting to God's will for our lives. That was the spirit of Moses, that great servant of God in the Old Testament. The Bible says the man Moses was very meek. Then right at the end there of Galatians chapter 5 and the verse number 23, there's a mention there made of temperance. What does that mean? It means self-control. The child of God who is filled with the Spirit of God, they will know temperance in their life. They will know self-control in their life. That's the complete opposite to drunkenness. You think again of what Paul says prior to our text there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. He says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. That word excess there means lawlessness. It means riotous behavior. And a drunk man has no control over his life, over his faculties, whatever. And it's the complete opposite of the child of God, led and guided and directed by the Spirit of God. There's the mark of temperance, self-control about their lives. And it was John Owen who said the Holy Spirit is the great beautifier of the soul. Look again at what Paul says there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is in all, he says, goodness and righteousness and truth. People, this is the outworking of the Spirit of God in our lives as God's people. Another fruit is one of thanksgiving. Look at what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. He says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then also there's the fruit of prayer in the life of Christian. Go on over to Ephesians 6, verse 18. He says they're praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. By the infilling of the Spirit of God in our lives will help us in prayer as God's people. Help us to seek God. Help us to be in our place in prayer. And to cry to God. And then there's also the fruit of power and enablement to serve the Lord. Turn with me back to Acts chapter 1 and to the verse number 8. Look at what the Lord says there to his disciples before he ascends up into heaven into glory. He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Where do we find help in Christian service? Whatever it is, children's meeting, Sunday school class, open air witness, preaching God's word, giving out a tract, seeking to witness on a day-to-day basis for the Lord, we find that help, we find that power, not in ourselves, no, for without the Lord we can do nothing, but through the Lord's help, through the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives as the people of God. Indeed, it was John Wesley who said that without the Spirit of God, he said, we can do nothing but add sin to sin. How true that is. It said on one occasion there were once two men and they were viewing the great Niagara Falls in Canada. And one of them said to the other, this water is the greatest unused power in the world. The other friend replied, not so. He said, the greatest unused power in the world is the Holy Spirit of the living God. How was one who knew his need of God and his need of the power, the infilling of the Spirit of God in his life? As a believer. And that need still applies to you and I and to the church of Christ today more than ever. Notice one final thought here from our text. Notice the way for the Christian to be filled with the Spirit. Now, whenever a person is saved, that person is born again of God the Holy Spirit. They are regenerated. Their hearts are indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. That's the mark of every believer, every child of God, whoever he is, whoever she is. Remember what Paul said to the believers in Corinth? He said, your body, he says, is the temple of the Holy Ghost. When a person is saved, they are born again, they are indwelt by the Spirit of God. However, if the Christian is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost, there will be certain marks in the life of that Christian and the life of that child of God. We might ask, well, what are those marks? It'll be the mark of obedience. Obedience to God's word. Obedience to God's will for their lives. Listen to the words of the Apostle Peter as he writes and speaks in Acts chapter 5, verse 32. He says, and we are his witnesses of these things. And so also, he says, is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And brethren and sisters in Christ, if we are to be filled with the Holy Ghost, we must obey the Lord. The Lord's word and the Lord's will for our lives. The Bible says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. There must be that obedience unto the Lord. There'll also be the mark of holiness unto the Lord. The Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. The Holy Spirit is holy. Without sin. And if we are to be filled with his power, then as Christians, we must live holy lives also. There must be that turning away from the sinful ways of this world. There must be that mortification of the deeds of the flesh and the ways of the world and the ungodly ways of this world, a turning away from such in our lives as Christians. You look at what Paul says there in Ephesians chapter 4 and the verse number 30, speaking there to God's people. He says to them there in verse 30, he says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed, he says, unto the day of redemption. He's speaking here to Christians, to those who are saved, not to grieve the Spirit of God. And that leads us to ask, what is it that grieves the Spirit of God? Well, sin is the thing that grieves the Holy Spirit in our lives and robs us of the power and the blessing of God. And here in Ephesians chapter 4, you'll notice as Paul writes to these believers in Ephesus that he lists certain sins that they were to avoid and turn away from, lest they grieve the Holy Spirit. He speaks to them there about the sin of lying in verse number 25. He says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. He speaks, warns them of the sin of uncontrolled anger in verse 26. He says, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. He warns them against the sin of stealing in verse number 28. He says, let him that stole steal no more. He warns them against corrupt words and corrupt conversation. Look at verse 29 of the chapter. He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Then he warns them also of a wrong attitude in their lives as Christians. For look at what he says to them in verse number 31 of the chapter. He says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." And brethren and sisters in Christ, likewise, if we are to be filled with the Spirit of God, these are things that we must turn away from in our lives as God's people. There must be that mortification of the flesh, not turning away, that repenting of sin and the old ways of the flesh and the ungodly ways of this world. These are things that we must turn away from, things that must be repented of and put under the blood as the Lord's people. And in contrast, how are we to live as Christians? We're to follow the example of Christ. For look at what Paul says at the very end of Ephesians chapter 4. He says, "And be ye kind," he says, "one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Verse 1 of chapter 5, he says, "Be ye followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savior." He was saying to these Christians, don't follow the world. Don't follow the ways of sin and ungodliness. Follow Christ. Follow after the example of Christ in your life as a believer. Look again at what he says in Ephesians 5 verse 8. He says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord." He says, walk as children of the light. Darkness speaks of sin and ungodliness and the ways of this evil world. And he says, walk as children of light. Don't walk in the ways of the world. Don't follow the example of the world, Christian. Follow the example of the Lord. Follow the example of the Word of God. There's a mark of obedience, holiness, but there's also the mark of prayerfulness in the life of that believer that knows and experiences the infilling of the Spirit of God in their life. There's a mark of prayer in their life. Turn with me back, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 11. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 11. The early part of this chapter is all about prayer, and Christ is speaking here to his people, to his disciples. Look at what he says in verse 13 of Luke chapter 11. He says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit?" Notice it. This is to God's people. "Give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him." Those who seek him. Those who pray. Those who call upon the Lord. And brethren and sisters in Christ, if you and I, if we are to know personal revival in this ungodly day, if we are to know revival in our churches and in our congregations, and if we are to know the outpouring of the Spirit of God in our land and in our nation, there must be prayer. There must be a seeking of God. There must be a calling upon God. We must give ourselves to prayer, to seeking God, and to calling upon his name. You read the life stories of those whom God has owned and blessed in a bygone day. Read the history of the Church of Christ when it has known times of blessing and increase from the right hand of God. There have been seasons of prayer, seeking God, calling upon his name. What did Christ say? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Turn with me again over to the book of the Acts, Acts chapter 1. Look at what it says about this early New Testament church, Acts chapter 1, and look at verse number 14. This was the early church, just a handful of people. They were despised. They were persecuted. But look at what they did in verse 14 of Acts chapter 1. It says, "These all continued," it says, "with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." They sought the Lord in prayer. And the tide turns, the tide changes in the next chapter. You read of the day of Pentecost coming, God pouring out his Spirit, God taking on that little church, taking it up in his arms, in his hands, and blessing it and using it. to the furtherance of the gospel right to the end of the world. And people of God, how important it is that we pray. Christian, guard your prayer time. Your private life, guard it, keep it. Watch and pray, watch over that time, keep it. How important it is that we pray collectively and corporately when we can gather together in the house of God to seek God. And child of God, I encourage you, guard the prayer meeting night of the church here. Keep it free. And come to the place of prayer and seek God with His people for the outpouring of the Spirit of God in our lives and in the work of God here and further afield. For God is a God in heaven who hears, who answers prayer. There was once a committee of ministers and they were contemplating asking D.L. Moody to conduct a mission in their city. There was one minister who was opposed and he asked this question, does he have the monopoly of the Holy Spirit? And another brother replied, he says, no, he does not have the monopoly of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit has a monopoly of D.L. Moody. In other words, Moody was a man who was surrendered to God. He was yielded to God and child of God. Surrender all to Christ. Seek the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God in your life day by day. Christian, the Lord will bless you in your home, in your workplace, wherever it is, wherever His providence leads you and casts you upon. The Lord will bless you. The Lord will use you for His honor and for His glory. Friend, in the meeting this morning, let me say this. If you're not saved, the way to start living for God's honor and God's glory is for you to seek the Lord for salvation. To come before the Lord as a poor and needy, guilty, lost, hell-deserving sinner. Acknowledge your need as a sinner. Confess your sins to the Lord and come to rest and to trust alone upon Christ and His sacrifice upon the cross for your salvation. Friend, if you come as a poor and needy sinner to Christ and call upon Him, He will save you. For the promise of His word is this. He says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. God will forgive your sins. He'll save your soul. And He'll bless you and He'll use you for His honor and for His glory until the Lord comes or until the Lord calls you home to heaven. And say, oh, don't go away, friend, without the Lord today. Seek Him. Call upon Him for salvation. And begin the greatest life of all, that of living for Christ and serving Christ here in this earth and this scene of time. We'll close our meeting just with a word of prayer. I'll not be going to the door, but if there's anyone here and you need to speak to me about maybe what we've said or about your need of salvation, whatever, I'll be here at the front. Come and speak to me after the meeting. I'll be no hurry away. No preacher can save you, but we'll be glad to open up the Word of God with you and point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. But don't go away without knowing and coming to trust the Lord today for salvation. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us in Thy house today. Bless Thy word, Thy truth, that which has been of Thee. Write it indelibly, apply it effectually to every heart and to every soul. Lord, as Thy people, may we be a people who know the infilling of God the Holy Ghost in our lives day by day, that others might take note that we've been to Jesus, that we belong to the Lord. For any in the gathering today not saved, speak to them, Lord. And may they not go out of the meeting rejecting the Lord under the wrath of God. But oh, that today they might flee from the wrath to come and flee to Christ and trust Him as their own and personal Savior. Take us now to our homes in safety. Dismiss us with Thy favor and Thy blessing. Bless us throughout Thine own day. And return us again in Thy will this evening hour. For we do pray and do ask all these things for Jesus' sake and for Thine eternal glory and praise. Amen.